since we're dealing with a light in a lamp today, it's probably appropriate that we have the tapestry up that says, "In His Light." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Is this true?
No.
Well, gee, how do you really feel, you know? Doctor wrote down, no, not a nine yet, and nope. Well, why not? Words have power, don't they? Okay. That's just like the talk that we have today between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. Constitution. Why is a document written in 1793 important today? Do words have power? Laws are on the books for penalties for crimes. Do words have power? If you break the speed limit and get caught, do words have power? Yeah, especially if you have to pay that fine, right? Well, words are important because they communicate concepts. Okay? That's how we talk to each other, or through those words. Philosophy, okay? It's a tough subject because hard concepts are only communicated through words. Well, today, our song is, "Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet and a Light unto My Path." And we're going to do that for our sermon hymn today, too, which I think is important. All right, I'll bite. Why? Why is that important? Well, the Bible's full of information, isn't it? But how deep is that information? Last week, I finished our Bible study on numbers in the Bible, and I also shared with you some of that in my sermon last week. And when, as I was doing this, a couple of you said, "I never even knew that that was possible." Well, folks, there's so much stuff in the Bible we don't know yet. You know, I have studied the Bible since I was a little kid. All my Bibles are marked up, and every day I learn something new. It's in there. You know, I think it's hubris or pride in us to say, "Oh, I've read the Bible. I know what's in there." Well, you do? You want to teach me? Because I really am getting more to the point that the more I know, the less I know. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. Well, here's a word I think is important. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us so that we might have eternal life. Important words? Is that a concept? Sure it is. "Go ye therefore and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." The Great Commission. Do words have power? Yes, they do. Especially when it comes from Jesus. Because remember, I've told you about that imperative form. That when Jesus tells us something, it's like your mom saying, "You will do this." Okay. You know, that's what that imperative form is in Greek. We don't have it in English, but in Greek you do. And it's one of those, "You will." But it's real easy to do that when the message comes from Jesus, isn't it? What if it comes from someone else? Does it make it any easier to hear? Well, that's what happened when Jesus went back to Nazareth and Capernaum. Now remember, Jesus was born in Nazareth. Okay, and both he and his dad, research has shown that Jesus wasn't necessarily a woodworker. He was a stonemason. Capernaum, which is 4 miles away from Nazareth, was a city that Herod was building. And so he was building all his stonework. So craftsmen worked in stone. They didn't work in wood. And we know that both Jesus and Joseph went to Capernaum to work as stonemasons. That's what our research has shown. In fact, if you want to Google that, Paul Meyer, who is a, you know, doctor in history, teaches at Eastern, Western Michigan University. Anyway, he's got a whole discourse on this on YouTube that you can watch. It's really interesting because he's sitting in stones right at the feet of Capernaum, and he shows out in the valley where Nazareth is in Capernaum and what was done. Is it easy to go home again? No. because he went home, didn't he? And he started talking. He started preaching. What did his family say to him? You're out of your mind. Boy, I'm so embarrassed. Jesus is up there again. Boy, God. People who just didn't get it were making evaluations of what Jesus was saying. Why was this so different? Because it's a new concept. It's not based on law. It's based on love. And that was so foreign to the people of that time that they didn't get it. There's a lot of people today who don't get it. But the thing I really enjoyed today is when the people came up to him and said, listen, Jesus, your mom and your brothers, sisters, they're all outside waiting for you. Aren't you going to go? What time is it? You know, one of those things. And he said, no. Who are my brothers and my sisters? The people that are here with me listening to this are our brothers and our sisters. Now, in our church, we don't address people as brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. But if you notice, every time I pray for somebody, I say brother or sister. Why? Because we are. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And folks, sometimes that family is stronger than the one that we have in our real family, isn't it? People that care for each other. People that help each other. But the people, here we go again, said, he's possessed by Beelzebub. And who is that? Satan. And by the prince of demons, he cast out demons. And I love this argument. And he called them to him and said to him in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan had risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he is coming to an end. One of the most famous speeches that Abraham Lincoln did, he quoted that when he said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Lincoln is one of the people, I'll go later this on my 4th of July sermon. He's a strong Christian. An outstandingly strong Christian, and God's with him all the time. His speeches were full of Bible quotes. Now explain to me that separation of church and state. It's not. But people had a different opinion of Jesus at that time. They wanted to disagree with him. And as we saw in the scripture today, it's not even disagreeing, it's just dissonant. You know, you're out of your mind. You're possessed by the devil. Well, it's awful tough to go home again, isn't it? But were they preaching against his message or against Jesus? They were preaching against Jesus because the message is true. And they didn't like hearing it coming from someone who they grew up with. You know what the definition of an expert is, don't you? Somebody comes from 50 miles away, not from somebody who's from there. And Jesus was from there, and so he's talking to the people. And the people said, you're crazy. See what I'm getting at on this? Words have power. One of the hardest things for all of us to do is listen. You played telephone before? You get in a line, somebody starts at the beginning, and you just pass a simple phrase on the line, and by the time you get to him, you find out it is so different, it has nothing to do with what you originally passed. Why? Because we don't listen. So when we're talking about the words being a lamp to our feet, we have to hear those words, don't we? Folks, it's easier to destroy something than to build up something, isn't it? I mean, take a big building. It takes months, sometimes years to build it. If they do that implosion process, how long does it take to bring it down? And it's gone. Okay. Isn't that the same thing with people? It's easier to destroy, okay, than it is to build up. You know, Dr. Crane's a psychologist. You deal with people that have been destroyed through words all the time. It's so easy to do that. And sometimes you say something that's taken badly, you didn't even mean it that way, but it was. Listen to this part of the reading. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then he may plunder his house. Let's change that from house to heart, goods to feelings, and make a couple other minor changes. But no one can enter a strong man's heart and plunder his feelings unless he first binds the heart of the strong man with destructive words. Then indeed he may destroy his heart. That's destroying someone's spirit, isn't it? Is this the power of words too? Yes. Words. They can build or tear down. Words can bless or damn. Words can love or hate. But words can serve the spirit or they can serve the flesh. And if you're in the flesh, where do you live? Satan. That's where the flesh comes from. It's our earthly. So if we destroy someone else's faith, if we destroy someone else's spirit, whose else are we destroying? Our own. Remember that one commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're destroying, you've already destroyed. If you build up, you're building yourself up too. Remember that old analogy? It's in business, the dipper in the bucket. How many of you have heard that before? How many of you have not heard that before? Okay, let me talk about that. You go up and you give somebody a compliment. Boy, you look really nice today. Okay, what you just did is took a dipper, filled your bucket, filled their bucket. And the idea is to fill your bucket, right? You know, but Betty, that's a great looking outfit. Too bad they didn't have your size. Boy, I just emptied my bucket and I just emptied her bucket too, didn't I? But it's in the guise of a compliment, isn't it? Boy, passive aggressive, here we go. But folks, that's the thing. Words have power. And with the dipper and the bucket, you always want to fill both buckets. Because if you don't, then you're not feeding your spirit and you're not feeding their spirit. Got it? And Betty, you look just fine today. Okay. But you see what I'm getting at that? We have to be nice to our neighbor. And let's face it, how would Jesus want us to be? How would he want us to serve his word? I think joyfully, peacefully, hopefully, friendly, spiritually, and lastly, with the power of the Holy Spirit in what we say. Well, last week we chose joy, didn't we? This week, let's choose the positive power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and share that with our brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Lord, let your word be that lamp to our feet and a path to always guide our hearts. Help us to build relationships rather than destroy relationships. Help us to create peace instead of strife. And finally, Lord, help me by creating a clean heart and renewing a right spirit. And God's people respond with. And God's people respond with.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Amen.